Hello and welcome back to the Labyrinth Library. As always, I appreciate you coming back to listen to me. Well, I got a winner last week. I gave you guys a clue as to this week's review, and I am proud to say that I had a winner. Thank you to my brother Paul, who successfully guessed it. Now, I know what y'all are thinking. You're thinking, oh, this is a fix. Obviously, nepotism. Right? That I would, of course, allow my brother to win, but I promise you, I just told him, I said, there's a clue here, and he figured it out. So, Paul, you have a big box of my eternal respect, gratitude, and admiration. It'll be heading right towards you. Make sure that the post office there gets it to you intact. So, anyway, he was right. The book this week is a book by Carl Sagan, thus the billions and billions hint. And the book itself is The Demon-Haunted World, Science as a Candle in the Dark. So, Carl Sagan. I miss Carl Sagan, I really do. I mean, ever since I was a kid, Carl Sagan has been the face of science for me. I would watch Cosmos and feel this sense of amazement that the universe was as wonderful as it was. I mean, he'd be there in his turtleneck and his blazer, smiling as though he just heard the coolest secret and he wanted to share it with you. And he did, except, you know, it wasn't his secret. Hell, it wasn't a secret at all. It was the combined results of thousands of years of thoughts, deductions, mistakes, missteps, experiments, accidents, and achievements. And whether he was talking about the orbits of planets or the genetics of peas or measuring the Earth's size with shadows, you could feel an almost palpable sense of wonder coming from him. You'd listen to him and you'd think, you know, maybe humans aren't too bad after all, right? And then that smile would fade, and his eyes would get very serious, and he would explain how, for all of our achievements as a species, humans were still terribly fallible creatures. Our knowledge has, perhaps, outpaced our morals, and we're only a few simple steps from losing everything that we've gained. Our mastery of nuclear technology, for example, could wipe out civilization in a day. Our carelessness with industry could do the same in a century. His earnestness was very clear, and so was his disappointment. It was in this latter mood, perhaps, that he wrote this book. Simply by looking at the title, one can figure out his attitude, not only towards science, but also towards the world around it. When he looks at the world, he sees a place filled with demons. Not, you know, literally, of course. The metaphorical demons of irrationality, superstition, and an unfortunate willingness on the part of people to believe in things that just aren't so. This book is about the advocacy of skepticism and critical thinking. In a world where people are obsessed with celebrity, where people trust their feelings over their observations, where rulers make decisions based on the predictions of astrologers, you know, Sagan feels kind of threatened, and I can really understand why. You know, it still makes me angry. Now, in the 21st century, we're still arguing over evolution versus creationism. How are we still arguing this? I mean, it amazes me that newspapers even print horoscopes anymore, to say nothing of the fact that there are people who take them seriously. I mean, think about it. The planets are just... No! It's... No! That's all I can say. I have nothing else to say except no! And read this book. You know, it horrifies me that evil men are still able to use fear and superstition to convince people that they should kill in the name of God. And honestly, it saddens me that so many people have given control of their lives over to their concept of a deity rather than taking responsibility for it themselves. As you may have guessed, I'm not a religious person. You know? But Sagan's premise in this book is really simple. Knowledge is better than ignorance. Full stop. Whether it's witches or intelligent design, UFO abductions, or anything else, it is always better to find out the truth than to rest in a comfortable lie. I mean, the truth is hard, yes, and it may feel better to stay wrapped up in our illusions. I'm not arguing with that. I have more illusions than I know what to do with, but no matter how comfortable they are still illusions, and they are still lies. Sagan spends a lot of time in this book on UFOs, and abductees, actually, and he uses that as a bridge into other areas of skeptical inquiry. This is because UFO abductees, and of course the legions of enablers who encourage them, the psychologists, the writers, newspapers, and all those conspiracy nuts, exhibit the same behavior that allows unreason to flourish. And that behavior is an unwillingness or an inability to consider other options. Yes, you see some lights in the sky that you can't quite explain. The alien explanation would be a very romantic and weird one, and believe me, no one wants to see alien life more than I do. But wanting something doesn't make it so. There's probably a reason why you saw things out your window, and that explanation is probably perfectly terrestrial. Now, whether you're talking about UFOs, Reiki, power crystals, witchcraft, tarot cards, channeling, telepathy, past lives, indigo children, psychic surgery, miracles, visitations by angels, demonic possession, the hollow earth theory, the evidence just isn't there. It's as interesting and entertaining as a world containing such things would be. They're just not so. You know, and again, I'll interject a little personal thing here. I'm a fan of science fiction. I'm a big fan of fantasy. Comic books. God, I love comic books. And I think the world where all this really weird stuff existed would be amazing. It would be a really fun world to live in. But it's not the one we live in. At least, you know, there's no evidence to support that. You know, Sagan thinks, wouldn't it be better if we could just dismiss all this stuff? If everyone could think critically about them, dismiss them, and then just turn that vast amount of energy and resource towards actually making the world a better place. If, instead of putting together high-budget shows about ghosts and Bigfoot, networks made programs about scientific inquiry and achievement, or maybe a show about mysteries that science has solved. Instead of portraying scientists as either nerds or maniacs, why not show the scientists who are looking for ways to make safer materials, better medicines, more efficient cars? I mean, I suppose the Discovery Channel has done a pretty good job of trying to realize this dream. They got shows like Mythbusters and Penn and Teller strongly advocate critical thinking in their Showtime program. Bullshit, children. We don't speak like that. But I reckon Carl Sagan would probably want more. And this is where he does come across as something of a curmudgeon in this book. I mean, you get the feeling that if old man Sagan had his way, there'd be no X-Files or Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Flintstones. Science fiction would all be something like Contact, you know, nothing that isn't reasonably explainable by our current understanding of science. No evil robots or planet-busting Death Stars would survive such skeptical scrutiny. Indeed, you get the feeling that he would not only disapprove of those shows, he would definitely look down on those of us who do. And this attitude, actually, is something I've noticed a lot in modern skeptics. It's a certain annoyance with fantasy, and a rather condescending attitude towards those who haven't signed on to their skeptical view of the world. Now, I am a regular listener to the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe podcast, and I enjoy it. I recommend you listen to it, actually. It's a very good show. They've got some good people on, and they've always looking at the current news, what's going on in science, and looking at skeptical issues. But they sometimes turn on the arrogance, you know, when they talk about people who believe in things like religious revelation, alien visitation, and the like. Now, I can understand that attitude towards scammers. You know, the guys who get on TV and say that they're talking to your dead relatives. All right, they deserve nothing but contempt. But there are people who take real comfort in this worldview, regardless of how irrational it might be. And Sagan does address this in his book. He says, "All of us cherish our beliefs. They are, to a degree, self-defining. When someone comes along who challenges our belief system as insufficiently well-based, or who, like Socrates, merely asks embarrassing questions that we haven't thought of, or demonstrates that we've swept key underlining assumptions under the rug, it becomes much more than a search for knowledge. It feels like a personal assault. He goes on later to say, "In the way that skepticism is sometimes applied to issues of public concern, there is a tendency to belittle, to condescend, to ignore the fact that, deluded or not, supporters of superstition and pseudoscience are human beings with real feelings who, like the skeptics, are trying to figure out how the world works and what our role in it might be. Their motives are, in many ways, consonant with science. If their culture has not given them all the tools they need to pursue this great quest, let us temper our criticism with kindness. None of us comes fully equipped." So in other words, even if you know a lot, don't be a know-it-all. That's going out to you, James Randi. I love you, but there's no reason why you gotta be a cranky old man. Sagan had a lifelong love of science and the wonders that scientists have performed. The world today, every part and parcel of it, from the computer that you're listening to this on to the fact you didn't die before you were 5 years old, is attributable to the work of dedicated scientists trying to better understand the world. And that's the key message of this book. Knowledge makes the world better. Science has performed wonders that aliens, witches, and apparitions of the Virgin Mary have never been able to do. A well-educated, rational populace is the greatest protection we have against tyranny, and it behooves every citizen to acquaint him or herself with the methods and principles that science uses. It's the greatest tool available to us if we want a better world. Yes, there will be missteps along the way, but the errors of science can, if we act out of clarity and reason, be repaired. Science is self-correcting. Teach your children, encourage them to think critically about the world, and no one will ever gain mastery over them. Because an educated person is a free one. And if you can spread this kind of freedom, then perhaps Carl Sagan can rest well. So let me give you a quote. There are many good quotes in this book. I particularly liked this one, because it kind of encapsulates everything very nicely, and it is this. "We can pray over the cholera victim, or we can give her 500 milligrams of tetracycline every 12 hours. That's Carl Sagan from The Demon Haunted World. So that's it. As I said, I do love Carl Sagan, and I hope to review actually some more of his books. I've got Pale Blue Dot and Contact and Cosmos, of course, floating around. So with that, let me give you a clue as to next week's podcast. This one should be reasonably easy for you, so I expect a winner of my eternal respect, admiration, and gratitude. The clue for next week's podcast is a little bit of Latin for you, and forgive my pronunciation. If there's any Latin scholars who can correct it, please do. Quis custodiet ipsos custodes? That is your clue. And with that, let me bid you adieu, or goodbye, or however you want to say it in your language. And I'll see you all next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelabyrinthlibrary.blogspot.com, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say, or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you'd like to recommend, I'd be happy to hear it. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, which means feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, and until then, keep reading.